Today, I'm going to talk about the most important leadership competencies according to leaders around the world. It's an article from the Harvard Business Review, and I am so happy that you could be with me today.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, yesterday I talked about the four must-have leadership qualities as discussed in an article in Entrepreneur Magazine. Now, these weren't bad. They talked about vision and competence and pragmatism and charisma, which I took issue with charisma being one of the four essentials or must-haves. Today, I want to talk about an article in Harvard Business Review. And I want you to, if you haven't listened to yesterday, please go back and listen to yesterday's and then compare mental notes between the two. So when we're talking about the this article here, it's grounded in, it's scholarly, it is just more fully orbed than the one yesterday. It's not that yesterday's was bad. Yesterday's was practical, but you'll see a significant difference if you know what to look for. Okay, so let's move on with the article. So this is the most important leadership competencies according to leaders around the world by Sunny Giles. Now, Sunny has went and did some research, and out of the research, this developed. And so part of the difference between these two is, like, if I offer my students the opportunity to write a paper, they don't think of it that way, but the opportunity to research and think through something. And let's say the topic was the four or five most important leadership something, okay? And then I sent them out to do it. A bad paper is one where the student sits down and says, okay, I think vision's important, and I think team building is important, and they write these things down. And then they start to build their paper off that. A well-done paper is going to do what this Harvard Business Review paper did, and they're going to go out into the academic databases, and they're going to read about leadership, and then they're going to see patterns start to emerge. And that's kind of what happened in this article. Okay, so in the former, the person is just kind of making stuff up. Now, that doesn't mean that the guy in yesterday's article wasn't correct in some ways, but the former is not as grounded. It could be baseless. It might be right, but it could be baseless, where the latter, articles like this, are grounded in reality. Okay, so he starts off by saying, what makes an effective leader? And then he says this, I recently completed the first round of a study of 195 leaders in 15 countries over 30 global organizations. Participants were asked to choose the 15 most important leadership competencies from a list of 74. I've grouped the top ones into five major themes. And I'm sure the 74 came from previously existing research or something along those lines. I don't know that for a fact, but I would be very surprised if it did not come from a body of research, given what we're reading. Okay, so he gives a graph that shows the percentage of respondents, and then things were grouped. So they're grouped in strong ethics and safety, self-organizing, efficient learning, connection and belonging, and nurtures growth. Now, these sound very different than vision and perseverance and charisma. Okay, so here we go. Demonstrates strong ethics and provides a sense of safety. That was ranked highest by these leaders all around the world. Now, listen to this. Okay, this theme combines two of the three most highly rated attributes: high ethical and moral standards, and communicating clear expectations. And he goes on to say this, taken together, these attributes are all about creating a safe and trusting environment. Let me stop there for a moment. Why is it important to create a safe and trusting environment? Because leadership is not about, follow me, I'm doing this, I'm awesome, be like me, I can do it. It's not that. Leadership is about creating that safe space, a container space for followers to grow and become leaders themselves, and to have that psychological safety to take risks and all that. So the trusting environment, it does not surprise me at all that trusting environment is the first and highest ranked attribute. Okay, let me continue. A leader with high ethical standards conveys a commitment to fairness, instilling confidence that both they and their employees will honor the rules of the game. Similarly, when leaders clearly communicate their expectations, they avoid blindsiding people and ensure that everyone is on the same page. In a safe environment, employees can relax, invoking the brain's higher capacity for social engagement, innovation, creativity, and innovation. Okay, so again, just for clarity, if we compare notes between yesterday and today, yesterday the first one was have a vision. Today it is demonstrate strong ethics and provides a sense of safety. There's a big difference between the popular reading and the academically grounded reading because this comes from a survey of almost 200 leaders around the world. Okay, so this resonates with me, the reason that that was first. Okay, the second one was this, empowers others to self-organize. And he says this, providing clear direction while allowing employees to organize their own time and work was identified as the next most important leadership competency. Okay, so why is it important that you empower, that you allow them to self-organize? I was talking with a student the other day, and the student was talking about how he was just experimenting with allowing somebody to take ownership of their own. This is a graduate level student. He was just experimenting with allowing employees to, you know, take ownership of how they were going to do certain work, and you know, we're kind of chuckling because we're talking about how. You know, this what you had been doing before was keeping them from growing, and it was so much more work for you when you have to supervise everything so carefully. No, let people determine how they're going to do that, and they will get to grow, and you'll have less work. I said, if nothing else, if you're lazy, you help them grow. I mean, I'd far rather work for someone, a leader in who thinks in terms of benign neglect than one that thinks in terms of micromanagement. It's better for him. It's better for me. Okay, so he continues with this. Research has repeatedly shown that empowered teams are more productive and proactive, provide better customer service, and show higher levels of job satisfaction and commitment to their team and organization. And yet, many leaders struggle to let people self-organize. They resist because they believe that power is a zero-sum game. They are reluctant to allow leaders to allow others to make mistakes, and they fear facing negative consequences from subordinates' decisions. Okay, so there's two parts to that. One, yes, if you empower people, if you let them thrive, if you let them grow, if you let them take ownership of what they're doing, yes, they're happier, they're more satisfied, they're more productive, they serve their people better. All those good things accrue if you simply allow them to do what they ought to be doing. Okay, very often it's the leader that gets in the way. Now, why does the leader get in the way? And he said it in the last line. They resist because they believe that power is a zero-sum game. That's number one. So if either I have power or you have power, but we both can't have, we can't both have that power. So it's a false understanding. It's kind of like knowledge. How silly would it be if I said, well, I can't share with you what I know because then I would know it. I mean, it's absurd. If I share what I know and now you know it, we both benefit. It's the same kind of dynamic there. Okay, so one, power is a zero-sum game. Two, they are reluctant to allow others to make mistakes. Yeah, I understand that one, but you have to let them make mistakes if they're going to grow and improve and become wiser. Leadership works like maturity or wisdom, where you have to grow into it. You can't like flip a switch and have it automatically. It doesn't work like that. So they have to grow and make mistakes. And then finally, here's the third one. And this is the most important one. They fear facing negative consequences from subordinates' decisions. Okay, so the captain is in charge of the ship, right? And if somebody screws up on that ship, it's the captain's responsibility. Even if he didn't screw up, it's the same kind of thing in leadership. And so a lot of leaders are afraid of allowing people to have that latitude where they might screw up and then he might be in trouble. But you have to have that latitude to help them grow. In fact, the more that you let them grow, in my estimation, the more that you let them grow, the less likely that they are to go make stupid mistakes because they're growing in that wisdom and maturity and leadership. Okay, let me move on to the next one. Number three, fosters a sense of connection and belonging. Okay, so this is the third. Remember, the other article was talking about have a vision, persevere, be charismatic. Here we're talking about very different things. This is foster a sense of connection and belonging. Here's the quote. Leaders who communicate often and openly and create a feeling of succeeding and failing together as a pack build a strong foundation for connection. Of course they do, because, you know, we're in it together, right? Emotions are contagious. We know that. He talks about neuroscience and what it feels like when you create a safe connection and people feel cared for. In my classes, I talk about it like this. Look, if you have my back, you get my heart. The high road to productivity is not to watch people sit in their chair longer and measure how much time their butt's in their seat. It's to empower them and let them become all that they can be in order to serve people, right? Now, when I am micromanaging you, I'm telling you I don't trust you. When I have demonstrated to you that I have your back, you're going to go through a wall for me. That's how it works. Okay. So when you feel cared for, you respond reciprocally. That's just human nature. Okay. So he goes on and talks about if you want to promote belonging, do simple things, smile. Okay. It doesn't cost you anything. And it helps create that better environment. Use their names, recognize that they're human beings, know their family members, take an interest in them and their family. And again, he even uses the language of have your team members' backs, which I think is great because I've used that analogy for years. Okay, next, shows openness to new ideas and fosters organizational learning. So the author asked this, and he's asking about a number of the questions, of the 74 questions. So what do flexibility to change opinions, being open to new ideas and approaches, and provide safety for trial and error have in common? Those were questions on the opinion poll. If a leader has these strengths, he says, they encourage learning. If they don't, they risk stifling it. Now, it's important that you encourage learning because just like an individual needs to learn and grow, the organization needs to learn and grow too. And leaders very often get caught up in this thing about, well, I have to know all the answers, and they have a hard time admitting they're wrong, but they have to do that. They have to be humble enough to say, I don't know everything. They have to admit they're wrong when they are. And they have to show the organization that they are learning and be the example to the organization. And that's very important. Failure is not a bad thing. And we often, carry this idea from elementary school forward that, oh no, you can't mess up. No, in an organization, when you're learning, when you're growing, you have to take risks and fail periodically in order to know what works and what doesn't work. And the leader needs to be the champion of educated failures that move us the direction that we're trying to go. He talks about creating a culture that supports risks. And when we're talking about risk, we can talk about something as simple as controlled A/B experiments. Let's run this marketing campaign. Let's see if this works or that works. Oh, well, this one worked better than that. That's good. That's the kind of failure. We're not talking about catastrophic blowing up the company kind of failure, but you have to encourage learning and even that failure that comes with it. Okay, the next one nurtures growth. He says this, quote, being committed to my ongoing training and helping me grow into a next generation leader makes up the final category. What does that mean to nurture growth? Think about it like this. Parents want you to grow. Teachers want you to grow. Anybody invested in you wants you to grow, and your leader ought to be committed to your growth. And when you grow, when you become more, you want to help more. You want to reciprocate. And you want to, like I said, if somebody shows me that they have my back, they get my heart, and I want to help them. I do not want to dig in or work against them or whatever. So those are the five areas that he talks about here. And again, I'm going to recap the differences. It was a strong ethics and safety, a safe environment. That was number one. Self-organizing, empowering kind of environment. A learning environment, number three. And number four was connection and belonging. And number five was nurtures growth. That is what this scholar found were the most important leadership qualities according to leaders around the world. Now, how different was that than what we talked about yesterday? Yesterday we talked about having a vision and being charismatic and perseverance, right? It's just, it's different, but it's different. And it's not that yesterday was necessarily wrong. There were some things that were right about what's going on yesterday. It was differently focused and it wasn't necessarily grounded. It was probably anecdata. What I mean by that is like anecdotal data. Like, yeah, he's seen this again and again. Here, this is much more grounded. But, you know, let's just take the first one. So the first one, again, was this idea that it demonstrates strong ethics and provides a sense of safety. Provides a sense of safety. Just, again, it resonates with me because that's what you have to do as a leader. So I don't think that the author yesterday would have talked about providing a sense of safety. I mean, like, I'm not sure. Maybe it would have occurred to him, but I think he was thinking in such different categories that that wasn't going to be even on his radar screen. And this brings me to the quotation for contemplation for today. It's from Malcolm Gladwell, who said this, quote, "Often a sign of expertise is noticing what doesn't happen," unquote. Now, what he's saying there is that there's this implicit knowledge. And when that quote comes from the book Blink. And he was talking about a fireman looking at a fire and thinking like, well, that's weird. This should be going on over here instead of, but that's not. And he's recognizing that it's the wrong kind of fire compared to what he thought it was. And so that implicit knowledge, but that implicit knowledge, like wisdom, like maturity, like leadership, takes time to build. Okay, so I'm encouraging you here to read widely. There's nothing wrong with reading that article from Entrepreneur. Don't hang your hat on it. There's nothing wrong with reading HBR. It's good to read articles like the one that we covered today, but read as widely as you can to broaden your knowledge and get a real expertise in whatever it is that you're trying to get that expertise in. Just keep building and growing. Okay, this was episode 50 of The Leadersmith. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let me know. I'm on Twitter at Darren Gurdis or Parler now at Darren Gurdis. And I am more than happy to address what it is that you would like me to talk about. Just let me know what you'd like to talk about. I'm trying to do these daily, and I hope that they help you become the leader that you would want to follow. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.